My pleasure this morning to share something with you from the Word of God. I've got a really unusual title this morning for my message. It's simply called When Euroclydon Hits. Now, I want to say first and foremost, this has nothing to do with Brexit. Okay? So I'm not going to be speaking a party political message, but I'm going to read about Paul's voyage and journey to Rome from Acts 27. 44 verses. It would be good if you'd read it today and you'd grasp some of the things perhaps that I'm going to share that Paul experienced, and I believe we can also experience and know God when Euroclydon hits. So if you want to go down to verse 13 of Acts 27, I'm going to read it to you. It says this: when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So that's where I got the word from, when Euroclydon hits. Or if you want to just bring it down to our modern day language, probably say this. What do you do when you're going through a storm? By the way, this naming storms that Met Office seemed to do, they must have got it from the Bible, because they were naming theirs 2,000 years ago. And we know in our lives that there are times when we're going to face storms. And I think it's really important, and I want to try and show you out of personal experience and out of the Word of God this morning, how we can go through a storm so that we don't have to sink. We don't have to drown. We don't have to stay in it any longer than we want, meant to. And we can actually go through it, because storms will come to us all. So I want to cover two areas in the time I've got, and I must keep my eye on the clock. The first is this. I just want to do a little preface to help us understand and respond to storms so that we can reduce them whenever possible. And then I just want to look at a process that we need to learn from the text this morning that will help us to grow as a Christian. So what's the preface? Well, first thing is this. Storms are unpredictable. You never know when they're going to come. I could say to you this morning that 2 years ago, something hit our family that never hit me before, hit us before, never expected before, never thought we'd have to go through a two-year period of storm and difficulty in sorting out some major things there. And we're at the other side of it now, so we thank God for that. But also in my work overseas, to actually be involved with a couple who were all set to go out to the mission field. And just weeks before they went, they were called in by their medical doctor and told that both of them were diagnosed with the same very serious disease. I'm glad to tell you they still went, and I'm glad to tell you they're coming through it. I've had friends this year who on the phone have told me that they never expected. My friend Peter Butt, his brother and his sister, died within just a few weeks of each other. And hit him really hard. Didn't expect it. Unpredictable. We were in Jamaica a few years ago. I had a big preaching tour all arranged. Mary was going to stay with Sophie and enjoy the sun and do a bit of mission work in the evening with me. But you know what? Hurricane Dennis had different ideas. And when Hurricane Dennis hit, we never expected it, and we never want to go through that again. We had to tie a rope from one house to the other house to be able to pull ourselves out of the house we were staying in across to the house where they were feeding us. Such was the wind. Such was the power. Just like a bulldozer hitting the wall every 10 seconds. Then once I was preaching in Texas, and halfway through the meeting, a siren went off, which I didn't take any notice of. But I suddenly noticed a nervousness in the congregation. And then somebody whispered, there's tornadoes nearby. And do you know what? I think I lost the congregation. No matter how I might have thought my points were good, they were all looking and listening intently, because a storm, an unpredictable storm, one that they didn't think was going to come, came. And I was glad that I was taken to a safe place out of that. I've noticed as well in this kind of preface that storms don't always just pass in an hour. Sometimes they can last days, weeks, and longer periods of time. But here's something I want to share with Christians this morning, simply this. Storms don't always mean you're out of the will of God. Because we all suffer in our lives. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble. But fear not, I have overcome the world. So sometimes you're going through something and the big question is why? What's happening? Well, I want us to look at Paul this morning on this journey to Rome. Everything seemed quite well. He'd got his team with him. And for some reason, Aristarchus is mentioned as well. And I wonder whether Aristarchus would rather have been left out. But he gets on board. And there they are, in the will of God, going to Rome. And he believes, and he was, in the will of God. Let me also say, if you're caught in a storm, I see from this passage, it's very important that you make sure you're in control and handling things, or making the mistake of handing them to others can be a disaster. See, Paul didn't know the captain, didn't know the sailors. He had some level of trust in the centurion that was guarding him and taking him across to Rome. But he was placed at the mercy of other people's decisions. One of the things I think you learn in life is when you're going through a storm, wherever possible, keep control. Keep your hands on the situation. The good news is storms will end. A calm will come eventually. But when you're going through something, I want to tell you, it seems like it's never going to end. But they will end. And so I think I can say this morning, honestly, to people who may be at this time going through some storm in their lives, I can say this to you, that storms will either make you or break you. And I want storms to be something that as a Christian, I can prove that there can be the making of me, the changing of me, the maturing of areas of my life, because I found God in the storm. So that's the preface I just lay before you. And then I would now look at the process of learning how to pass through a storm. This is really important, isn't it? Because it's something that we never know when can happen, and we never know in our lives when it will end, if it comes. But I've never been a Boy Scout, but I know the motto, I believe it was, be prepared. And so how do you prepare for a storm? Well, you never know when it's going to come. I didn't, in the one in my family. This missionary couple didn't realize that when they were planning to go and serve the Lord, and other situations that happen in our lives and be happening to you. It could be something to do with employment, could be something to do with relational change, it could be all kinds of things, financial situations in your life. But here's the thing, if we want to pass through the storm, we need to be prepared. We need to actually make it a habit and a pattern in our life when we're on the mountaintop, when it's wonderful, when we sat on a beach, when the days are great, eating an ice cream. We need to make sure that God's in every area of our lives. God's in every part of us. Isaiah 48 is a great scripture, verse 17. The Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, I am the Lord your God, and I teach you for your own good. Isn't that great? I teach you for your own good. I lead you in the way you should go. In Genesis 24, 27, Abraham sent out his servant to find Isaac a wife, and he prayed that God would lead him and guide him. And so in that verse he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. See, it's so important that when storm comes, we're already in the way. And I thank God many years ago that I wasn't in the way. I was going my own way. But I praise God that someone told me that Jesus Christ could forgive me all my sins, forgive me all the ways and directions that I'd sought, and I could come to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And I could find my sin forgiven at the cross, could find that there was a place where from that point onwards I can be in the way. Storms will still come, but you know what? The Lord will lead me through them. So your relationship with God cannot be an on-off relationship. You know, I've said this many times, but I think sometimes we have to ask ourselves whether our relationship with God is a bit of a revolving door. You know, in and out, in and out, in and out. God wants me to be in. The psalmist says this, my feet are within your gates. I'm here to stay. I've burnt my bridges. I know this is the way that I'm supposed to be. So before a storm even comes, make that decision in your life, because it's going to help as we proceed. See, when you walk in with the Lord each day of your life, it's equivalent to what I would say is turning on your spiritual sat-nav. I am a bit of a radio buff, so I like to listen to the radio. I do find, because of age and waterworks and all kinds of things, I get up in the night and often pray and listen to the radio, especially when it's news time. But I like to listen to the shipping forecast. Now, how crazy is that? Four times a day, the shipping forecast comes on, but I don't listen to all of them. But I can tell you where Dogger Bank is, and I can tell you all those places and know where they mean on a map. And I don't know why I listen to it, but I guess the one at 1 o'clock in the morning where it before it starts, they play that lovely song, Sailing By. And I love that tune. So I've often listened to that at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I can only listen to it if I'm tuned in. If my sat-nav's turned on when I'm driving. I don't know about you, but me and Mary. Mary's very good at navigation. She really is. I am absolutely useless. And so what happens is she says, I know where I'm going. But I have to say, sometimes she misses a turn. And there's the sat-nav sat right in front of me in the middle of the car on my phone. And we end up having a little disagreement. I know you can't possibly think that Mary have little disagreements, but we do have little disagreements. And she says, pull over and turn the sat-nav on. And we pull over and find we've got to make a detour and go back. Why didn't we turn it on in the first place? I said that to her numerous times. We've done it again. Why didn't we turn it on at the beginning? Because, you know, the sat-nav will get you there. The shipping forecast, it's irrelevant to us, but I tell you what, those men out there in those fishing boats, they're really glad to know what speed wind is coming, what kind of storm might be brewing on the horizon. What am I saying? I'm saying this, that if we are tuned into God, we can know that even when storms come, Paul didn't have that privilege. He had no sat-nav. He had no shipping forecast. And sometimes we may not have those things around us. But you know what Paul had? He had a direct communication and link with Jesus Christ. And so on this situation, as it gets worse and worse, what becomes evident is there's only one person on that boat, 273 other people, but there's one person that knows the direction that you're supposed to go. I don't know about you, but if I see that, if that's a possibility, I want to be like that. God, please keep me tuned in so I can know what to do when the storm comes. See, we have the privilege of often avoiding a storm because we know it's coming. Paul didn't have that, as I've said. But you know what? Paul knew whatever that he was going to go through it, he was going to go through it. So here's a few things that I have learned. I pass on this wisdom to you and believe that it can help you as a Christian. I am saddened as a pastor of 40 years to see how many people have shipwrecked, how many people have sunk, how many people have not got through something. And I believe there is a way through every storm. Can I say that to you again this morning, listening? Somebody listening to me right now, you need to hear that. There's a way through your storm. There's a way through. So take note, jot down these things that I'm about to say. The first is this. Storms make us make the right choices and the right commitments. They have a habit of changing our mindset. Things that I thought were important, then suddenly something comes into my life and all other things have to be moved about, reorganized, done, priorities, handling your emotions, handling the things that are connected to it. Everything has to change. And so in the midst of that, which sometimes can seem a bit of a turmoil, it's so important that they make us focus on where our firm commitments are. Paul's response was simply this. To a people who didn't know God, who very quickly gave up hope, for a team on board who didn't know what to do, were lashing ropes around the boat, Paul says, I want to tell you, I believe God. What a thing to say. I believe God. So what does that mean to them? It means that that relationship changes everything in that circumstance. It is your relationship with God that changes every circumstance. See, I believe when we're going through a storm, there has to come a time when you stop telling God how big the storm is and start telling the storm how big your God is. Deuteronomy 4, verse 7, when Moses is talking to Israel, he says this, just little Israel, nowhere as big as Babylon or Syria and all the others there. He says, for what nation has a God so near like the Lord our God? Whenever we call on him. Isn't that beautiful? He's saying it doesn't matter what size trouble is around us, what power there is around us. What other nation? And I want to remind you this morning, there is no one else who can help you like Jesus Christ can. So storms change your choices and commitments until you come to a place where it's God or nothing. I thank God for bringing me to that place numerous times in my life because it keeps me focused on what really matters. It keeps me with an ability to sweep away all the other stuff that seems to clutter up my life. Come back to that a bit later. Then I want to say storms separate us from other people's outcomes and values. See, there were others on board, didn't know God, and they were saying, we're finished. You can read about it. Read it in the chapter. We're finished. That's it. We're going to die. We've failed. But Paul stands up and says, I'm telling you, I've got something very clear from God that I am going to stand before Caesar according to what God has promised me. I want to live with God's word in and over my life. I want to live with the prophetic being fulfilled. You see, storms are a time when we have to choose the prophetic promises of God or professional advice. Do you know what? I think some of us are finding out during this current COVID crisis, the professionals don't always think the same. The experts contradict each other. Experience does not always count. Jackie Pullinger would never have gone to Hong Kong because the local leadership of her church said, "We don't think you're ready." Now, am I saying rebel? No. But sometimes we have to know what God is saying in a storm. People can advise you. People can offer good advice and counsel. Yeah, thank you very much. That's really good. But they're not always right. That's why Paul says and turns to the sailors and he says, "Men, I see." What he's saying is, I've seen something different. I'm living by a different set of rules. I'm living by a different vision. Many years ago, two experiences in employment before I went into full-time ministry. One was, I was a plant maintenance engineer for the National Coal Board, and it's a very good job, great prospects and whatever, and I worked with a really good bunch of engineers, and then I just told them that I was going to Bible college. Not been married very long, and they came to me, they gathered round with a great concern, and I have to say, many of them much higher academically than me, and they said, "You know, here's five reasons why you shouldn't do this." But you know what? God had called me. God had spoken. God had confirmed. And so I'm glad that I didn't listen just to their expertise. When we're going through a storm, we need to make sure we're really hearing God. I can't hear God for you, but you can hear him yourself. How do we do that? Well, what does Paul say in verse 21 of this chapter? After a time of abstinence, that means fasting. He actually fasted and he prayed and he worshipped, if you read in this passage. I have found if you're in a storm, using these wonderful things God has given us, we hear God and he speaks to our lives. Can I ask you this morning, how long is it since in the storm you fasted, you prayed, you worshipped, you cried out to God and said, "God, please, you've got to help me in this." I've got to be honest today, I think too many people should be running to Facebook rather when they should be running to the face of God. We're looking for all kinds of help and answers. Spend far more time. We've decided to put our phones away, turn them off at times, keep away from them, because they will just interfere. If you want to hear God in a storm, you've got to make that a priority. If you want a closer walk with God, to hear his voice. Storms also have the ability to release supernatural direction. They're on that boat going through all that darkness and storm. An angel comes to the boat and stands by Paul. I want to say, circumstances mean nothing to God. He can intervene in any of them, in any place. Believe for that. We want to say there were times when we were just holding on to God. There was one particular day in our lives where something was happening so desperately that day that we just said to God, "We're just going to pray all day until we get that breakthrough." And unusually, and if you're a Christian, if you're a spirit-filled Christian, you'll know what I'm talking about. We began to speak in other tongues and we went into a level that very rarely me and Mary had gone together in that. And hours passed and we just couldn't stop. We felt we were being carried by the Spirit until at 1 o'clock, bang, the phone rang. It happened. See, I believe that God, above the material realm, has called us to enter the spiritual realm. The Apostle Paul knew that. So he said, on this boat, God sent me an angel. And he's going to save us. Oh, we're going to go through a bit of a crash. We're going to, you know, the boat's going to be smashed up, but not one of you are going to be lost. Wow. I want to say I do believe, and I thank God for experiences, some I can't share publicly, but I know that there has been divine intervention and direction. How we need that with so many voices today. Storms, well, you want them to stop, don't you, really? You just don't want them to continue. But here's something else I've learned. Storms don't always end immediately. 14 more nights and days they went on this boat. Paul had spoken, but they had to keep holding on. Holding on, 14 more nights. I would like to just pray and God do it straight away. But then I realized that he is God and he is in charge of all things and he knows what this situation can do in me for my eternal good. So 14 more nights. Didn't end immediately. Oh boy, when I first went to Brazil the very first time and somebody gave me some milk that had not been treated and I drank it in a cup of coffee and got this amoebic thing in my stomach and went on a boat trip and all the pastors saw me. I spent more time over the side than I did in the boat and everything was, oh God, and they were praying for me. But I had to suffer it for 9 days. Now I lost 16 pounds and my wife was pleased about that. But you know what? I believed. I was with John Phillips, mentor, who's with the Lord now, and he said, I wish I could empathize with you, but I've never been sick in my life. I said, thanks, John, that's really helpful. But he said, you're going to be healed. After 9 days, me feeding the fish, because I couldn't take anything in. There I had an encounter, one that was very demonic, but another that was very powerful from God. And over that battle, in that storm going on in my body, God worked a miracle. I came back from the other side of the boat side and looked at the guys, and one of them shouted out in Portuguese, God's done it, hasn't he? I said, yes, he has, and I preached that night, and I preached every other night after that. You see, I wouldn't have wanted to continue for 9 days, but something happened from God. Right. You want to encounter God more? Sometimes it means you go through a storm. Let me join with these few thoughts. God will often put us through the test of waiting. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. But I found this, storms teach us that discouragement is a choice. You can choose to either believe God or be discouraged. The passengers all gave up hope, but not Paul. He was in charge now. And I've noticed on many a Christian walk, sometimes what people thought was going to happen didn't happen and they didn't work out. They got bitter, they gave up and so on. But let me say this. If you read this story, you will find that storms always contain signs of hope. So eventually, somebody decides to find out how deep the water is around them, and it's getting shallower and shallower. There was hope that land was near. I can tell you when you're going through a storm in your life, God always wants you to know that he'll give you signs of hope. He'll give you signs that it's going to come to an end. They throw out their anchors there. And we found life and ministry, it's good to have some friends who will help you anchor down and hold on to God. I love that story where Jairus is walking down with Jesus and somebody comes and says, "Don't bother the Lord, she's dead." Oh my word. But you know what? At that time, a woman reaches out and touches the hem of his garment and says, "I've been healed." See, God gave Jairus a sign of hope in the midst of total darkness. And I want to thank God that there's days when you go through a storm when suddenly there's a sign of hope. Suddenly there's an encouragement. There's something that comes. So I don't have to do what those sailors do and bail out and chicken out. No, God will give me signs to bring me through. I found that storms have made me lighten my load. You know, here, twice they had to keep throwing things off the boat. You know what? Storms have a way of helping you get rid of stuff you don't need. Paul says to them, "Hey, listen, I've told you once, I'm telling you again. Eat some food." Well, if we're going to die, what's the point in eating? No, eat some food because you're going to live. I love it when God puts in our heart hope that says, "I'm going to plan for the future, even though at the moment I'm still in the storm." Finally, to close, I could say more, as I'm sure you know, but after the storm, it says, God brought them to a new landscape. They didn't know they were in Malta, but God brought them to a new landscape. Let me just take that and use that and say, in conclusion, God wants to bring you through your storm today. And when you come out, you'll be in a new landscape, a new place where God can do. Paul's ministry took on a new dimension from that point. He's healing the sick and preaching the gospel. Whatever that means for each one of us, what it meant for Paul was that. For you, it might mean something different. But I tell you what, when you come through a storm, God gives you a new landscape. You've experienced him. He's brought you through. Oh, you might have had to swim. You might have had to swallow a few mouthfuls of seawater. But eventually, you land on the beach. Of course, there's only one way to end this message. And I know that Jake, I didn't know he was going to be here, sat down at the end this morning with his dad. But you know what song they love if you're a Liverpool fan? "When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk through the wind, walk through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on with hope in your heart. You'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone." I want to say, that's not a Christian song. I like Jerry and the Pacemakers version best. But the truth is ours this morning. You'll never walk alone. So don't try and get out of the storm you're going through. Learn some of the lessons that I've learned, others have learned, and God will bring you through to a glorious victory and a new day. Thanks for listening.